15 to 20 million.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area. And if you live in those areas, I ask that you go to your telephone, invite a family member and friend to tune in here on 860. If they're outside the area, give them a call and ask them to log on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. And also, they can listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, after the broadcast, because we do put up a broadcast link. Today, I'm pleased to say all of our panel members are on board. Mark Endel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, East Coast Vice President of SCORE, and Rich Loges, Principal of RJL Technology Integration, and our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash, always happy to be here to spread the good news about what we are doing to help American workers. You know, American Workers Radio supports a lot of great things throughout the year. We try very hard to promote small businesses and the bigger businesses that are manufacturing here in the USA, businesses of all size that are keeping people employed, and those single employer people too that are self-employed. That's very important to America's economy. As I mentioned in the past, we have over 29 million registered voters here in the USA, and we're doing our best to support all of those. Some of them are smaller businesses like lawyers and accountants. Others are hoagie shops and bakeries and your local community store where you go for candy and whatever you go for goods, soda, treats. They're all local businesses. And this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is National Small Business Weekend, an effort we started here during the broadcast, and it's grown to a nice celebration, especially in the areas we serve most. And the goal is for 2017 to get that message out to other places. No matter what we see in our lives or what we use in our lives, businesses of some point are needed to make that product come to us. Today, I'm going to ask our panel members to help me do a little review on the good we promoted here on American Workers Radio. In the upcoming weeks, I'm going to try to focus on more businesses that'll give us ideas, talk about some of the people that they work with in their local community, what they see is needed with their banks, what they see with licensing and inspection. I'm going to ask Larkin to see who he can generate that would be very interested in coming on and maybe talking about some of the things that they've done with SCORE. I'm going to ask Mark as well. And we're going to ask some of our traditional guests. I know that Rich is going to contact someone this week to be on the program in the future. I did speak with Curtis Ellis. He is very pleased with everything that is going on. And I'm very pleased to be part of bringing the good news to you. I do ask that you please sign on to our e-list. We got a lot of good people coming on and signing up, and we'll send you the rebroadcast of the radio program today. And of course, when you go to the front page of American Workers Radio, you can look also at American Workers Need You, with it, which is our commentaries. Well, I'm going to say, before I go to the first person today, Rich Loges, it's really good to hear that more Americans want to expand employment here for American workers. Wow, I haven't heard that for a long time. Over the years, people were, well, I don't know what's going to happen and this and that. A lot of positive changes came about because of efforts like American Workers Radio, and a lot more of them came about now with people watching the way the campaign went for president. A lot of things were said and demonstrated during the campaign for president that made people think and say, we have to do something to change America or it's all over. Americans see that if we don't become a manufacturing nation, all the jobs that are created are simply going to be sales positions. With manufacturing, as Mark will tell us today, many levels of jobs are created from the person ordering the stock for production, the person packing it, the person going to the stores to sell the product. It's a lot of effort that is put into getting one particular product on the street. And that's what we're trying to do here on American Workers Radio. And I want to also take this opportunity to say thank you to the many radio broadcasters that repeat my message each and every week. They repeat the message, talk about what we're doing, encourage people to do what we're doing on our radio broadcast each Wednesday. They're doing it in a very nice way, as well as playing my weekly commentary, which you hear each and every Saturday. Well, let's start off today with Dr. Rich. What happened exciting in your life in the last few days?
Oh man, talk about I'm still recovering, Michael. But what happens when you hit 40? It takes like triple the amount of time to recover from things. What a surprise. My wife, I got to really shout out. Larkin Connolly always says, when he's asked about married life, Larkin always says, I married up. And I want Larkin to know that I just flat out stole that line when people ask me about my wife, because she put on, I've got a high threshold for being shocked, let me tell you, and my wife surpassed it with a surprise party Sunday. And we had our audio engineer, Henry, in town. We had some of my out-of-town, longtime close friends, family were here. What a day, what an event. We kept the discussion of politics to an absolute minimum, Michael, at the party. But it was really, I'll tell you, it was one hell of a day, and it's been one hell of a year so far. You asked, Michael, at the beginning of the show, at the outset, about some reviews about what we do. I can tell you that there are actually some very measurable benefits that we can, very tangible, measurable benefits that I can cite for you guys and our listeners from our show. I've had numerous people over the last several months tell me that listening to this show, perhaps, if nothing else, gave them an honest and fair insights into some of the issues going on. I've had people, Michael, tell me that they've changed their votes because of listening to our show. I've had people tell me that they look at labels. I've had people tell me too that they've adopted a new approach to gathering information that is not going to come solely from the one or two media sources that they've traditionally relied on over and over and over again. And I think that Larkin had a point last week that's a really where we go forward from here. The point that Larkin made, I think, is we talk about the issues. We've got an understanding, I think, of those issues. But now it comes down to the action of getting things remedied and resolved. And that's what this election was really the first step, or was supposed to be the first step. We're watching now the hysteria behind the Supreme Court nominee last night. We're watching the what Trump's election did. It was a provocation of this soft totalitarianism that we're seeing all across the country, not just fringe groups, but pervasive throughout the nation right now. And in business, Michael, my approach has been, in the downtimes that I've had with RJL, and believe me, it's Mark, you can relate, right? This has not been a perfect sail, but sailing on the sea. So when we've had our downtimes and our struggles, I've always thought about, what am I doing that I need to improve upon? What about me or my company product or offering isn't competitive right now, and fixing that? And that right there is the lesson that the Democrats have to try to adopt, because they lost in an unprecedented historic fashion. So if you lose in an unprecedented historic fashion, you were unequivocally rejected. And not only were you, but essentially it was also a no thank you for what we've seen in the last 8 years. So that's what I hope, Michael, is going to happen as we are moving into the new year here and now into a new Congress and a new president. Unfortunately, the doesn't seem like the Democrats are game right now. They do often cite about how some Republicans, including Mitch McConnell, a very visible Republican, they do cite how the attitude was very similar back then. Well, we're going to stop Obama. We're going to prevent it. But even having said all of that, it's not as it is right now, Michael.
Absolutely, Rich. I agree.
Yeah, and so that's why in the short term, this is the only time that maybe I'm a little bit of a, I'm not a pessimist. I'm cautiously pessimistic about things. But my real concern is, at least in the short term, I'm looking at the short term, Michael, and I hope I'm wrong on this, but I just think the center, I think centrist and moderate political moderation, I think short term that's probably dead. What I'm expecting is essentially political warfare in the coming years. I don't see where the center is going to, on some issues, it's going to be, that voice is going to be drowned out. And, you know, the Democrats are making it hard. You know, that's the thing. Larkin, I'd like to ask your opinion on this. The Democrats are really making it hard for us to really want to keep the Republican Party in line, because the worse they are and the more inclined people will be to just vote Republican, now we run the risk of the Republican Party feeling like, you know, they're going to be the boss all the time. And that's not a good thing either. You know, that's not what we want.
No, not at all. Absolutely not. No. I don't like that kind of stuff, period. You know, the biggest problem I have encountered in the last few weeks is the fact that I've spoken to several merchandisers who go into the stores and talk to the purchasing agents and talk to the store owners. The majority of them are still focused on, why not make more profit for yourself? And that is destructive, because the store owners are being told, keep buying my merchandise, which is imported, and you'll be fine. You'll make your money. The American people are going to buy it regardless. And that is a very dangerous. That's even more dangerous than any politician, because these are business people not willing to go out of their way to support other American business people. They are bringing in foreign products to the stores to make us salespeople, rather than manufacturing from the point of production to the point of sale. And that's what I'm seeing. And I welcome today. I'm welcoming salespeople, merchandisers, to contact me. Just send me a note to michael@americanworkersradio.com. I said something a few weeks ago that I was going to do that, and I got a response from someone from a novelty company. It's all nice little things for kids and all. So I spoke to the guy and I said to him, I like what you send me in that catalog. It looks really good. It's plush animals. It's, you know, blow up toys, glow in the dark. I said, which of those products can you identify as made in America? And the guy was silent on the phone. He said, well, I don't know. It's done by the Hong Kong Trading Company. I said, oh. I said, well, when you get the American-made stuff, call me and I'll have you as a guest. Even if you bring in 10% of what you have in your Rhode Island novelty catalog, bring it over and I'll make a pitch for you to support your American-made version of this stuff. We had enough enemies within the American community. Right now, Rich and Larkin and Henry and Mark, I think we're cleaning up the aftermath of years and years It's not going to be Trump as the main savior or Obama as the worst or Bush as the worst or Clinton. If you go back in history, there are very, very few people in the last 30 years that we can point to, like I can point to Rich, Larkin, Mark, or Henry, and say these are the people that were leading America and the leading America's industries to be prosperous. There was none of them. It's hard to find them now. And the few that are in the system are being knocked down by these importers that are want to bring the stuff in and just keep the stores filled with garbage. Larkin, sorry to give you that report, but what's new with you?
Good morning, Michael, Mark, Rich, Henry, and to all of our listeners. Hello from sunny Baltimore, which is where I find myself for a meeting with the Maryland SBA tomorrow. Allow me to make a couple comments. My first comment would be directed at Rich. And, Rich, I'm full of sage, been there, done that, you're celebrating your 40th. I did that 28 years ago, and I do remember my 40th pretty well. But I must warn you that things are going to fall off, change color, taste different. It's just what 40 is all about. And as you start to see those changes, you're going to want to revert back to your 30s, and that's called a midlife crisis, I guess. So, sorry about the changing colors. There's nothing you can do. I mean, they make products that can do that. Stuff is going to fall off your body that you didn't know would ever fall off your body, and it just does. Stuff starts to sag, and you keep on saying to yourself, now wait a second. That breast wasn't anywhere near my belt when I used to tuck it in at 35. Now all of a sudden, I gotta get that out of the way to tighten my pants. It just happens, Rich. Sorry, I guess I had better news for you, but that's just the way it is.
You should have never told Larkin you just turned 40. In other words, Rich.
Well, I'm just trying to be realistic. I mean, it's just the way things are. I would ask Rich, as a fervent supporter, and anybody else that's a fervent supporter, when can I take off the football helmet? You want to hit me in the chest with a brick? You want to drop one on my toes? You want to hit me in the arm? You want to throw one at my back? I can take those shots, but don't hit me in the head with these bricks that Trump keeps on throwing. Has this guy completely lost his mind? I'm absolutely not sure. I don't have any problem with his policy and the direction he's going, and I think it's much needed. But boy, he needs to learn how to roll stuff out. I always tell my SCORE chapters, it's not what you say, it's not what you sell, it's not what you push, it's how you say it, how you sell it, and how you push it. And his ban, now they don't want to call it a ban, but it's even written on paper, ban on foreigners, it sounds like I almost wanted to go to the airport and demonstrate. But is it needed? Yes. He has just got to get a better press secretary and somebody that does a better job of addressing the public, because he's not winning favors amongst half of the, maybe even more than half, of the citizens of this nation. And I don't know. It's what everybody warns about, putting a businessman in that position. Businessmen don't stop and say, you know, how do you think this will go? Businessmen are steeped in intuition and experience, and they say, this is where we need to be, and boom, that's where they go. And that's the nature of a businessman. Trump has got to understand that there's a little bit more of a sales job involved here, a little bit more of a convincing problem, and he's got to say it a little bit nicer and a little bit kinder, which is, again, asking John Kennedy not to say the rosary. I mean, he's a businessman, and that's the way he sells things. He doesn't understand the word consensus. But I'll tell you what, they're sleeping in the football helmet is killing me. I got to take this thing. I take it off to take a shower, and all of a sudden I'm nervous, and somebody's going to come in, rip the curtain, and throw a brick right in my head. He's just got to slow down, for Lord's sake.
Yeah.
Number two, on that same subject, I hope none of you got the opportunity, because it would have done nothing but made your skin crawl. I hope none of you got the opportunity to watch Nancy Pelosi on television last night in a town hall meeting with 40 people and Jake Tapper on CNN. It was proof positive that the Democrats still don't understand. They have no idea. They are still totally lost. They don't understand why they lost the election. They don't even think they lost the election. They just flat don't get it. And it makes me feel bad because we operate best in a two-party system. And, boy, I'll tell you what, Nancy Pelosi was saying stuff last night that made my mouth almost hit the floor. She, given an opportunity, would turn California, not San Francisco, but the entire state of California into a sanctuary state, given the opportunity. Are you kidding me?
You're right, Larkin.
Are we really going to throw the rule of law out the window?
Larkin, if they would take their time, every one of them, Jake Tapper asking her questions about jobs and how they're, you know, managing to get through to employment opportunities in California, not creating more systems to get food stamps and all these other government problems that we've allowed to fester over the years, I wonder what her response would be. She always has ways, not only her, both sides of the aisle, the bickering, the pettiness. I can't stand it already. That's why I'm always promoting at least three or four parties, because, as I said in the past, if one of the two parties walks away from the table, you only have one person, and one person talks to themselves. If you have three or four people and one party walks away, at least you have three others to continue the discussion with. I know America's had two parties for years. I think with all the changes taking place in the world and in the USA, we have to think about it. And one of the things that I'll give you as a very interesting reason for my saying that, this year, there was a tremendous amount of emphasis on registering to vote. And both parties went out and they registered people. When they took the ballots, the registration ballots, back to the processing bureau, half of the people registered independent. Now, the Democrats were angry. They said, oh, we put out all that effort, all that money to get registrations. The Republicans said the same thing. So people now are starting to think on their own and say, I want something different. I need somebody. So maybe is it time now, Larkin, to consider a third person, third party to come forward as an independent? Bigger than ever. I mean, give them equal access. No dancing around.
After 200 years of a two-party system, I don't know if the nation is ready for it. I think, though, I agree with you. If I were to go ahead with my decision that I'm going to start a third party called the Pragmatic Party, and all we're going to do is solve problems the right way, I think I could probably muster a pretty good following. Whether I can form a third party, I'm not exactly sure. But, you know, our whole system is built on a two-party system. The fact of the matter is, if everybody agrees, you don't even need two parties. Just go out and make a difference.
Now, there's also something that, in my conversations with those that did register this year and in the past, but mainly this year, they said that they would rather have open elections, so no matter if you're a Democrat, Republican, or an I, you get to go out and vote in the primary. That's another thing that's been hitting the fan lately. People don't like to be herded, shepherded. You know, you're this, you're that. This machine's for you. This one. People are starting to become very independent, and it's very much a possibility in talking with people that they don't care about the primaries, which is bad because the primaries really give us an opportunity to weed out the people.
Well, I'm going to tell you something about primaries that people haven't taken into consideration. I was involved in no less than 12 elections cycles in the city of Philadelphia as sometimes the chairman, sometimes the assistant chairman, sometimes a ward leader, whatever position I held. And I can tell you this. We need to stop looking at the general election. The horse is out of the barn by the time the general election comes around. You want to find voter fraud? You pay attention to the primary and see what they do. See the inordinate amount of cheating that goes on inside each party to guarantee that their guy gets to run against another guy. And it is rampant in the Democratic Party in Philadelphia because they are so heavy in the way they outweigh. So, you know, Trump, if you want to scream and yell and investigate some voodoo comments that you think that over 2 million people voted erroneously, take a look at the primary. That goes on. That's where I actually physically saw vote changing, vote filing. Where the person on the table said to me, I was just voting for old Maid Harris down the street who just can't get out of the house, and she asked me to vote for Governor Rendell. And I said, well, you can't do that. And she said, oh, well, we do it all the time for the elderly who can't get out of the house. And I said, I wanted to get in there and look up the name to see what she was working on, because I know the person was dead or had moved. There was no question in my mind. But general elections, pooey on those things. You want to straighten out the electoral process, you get after the damn primaries.
Well, that's why I agree, Larkin. I'd like to see everybody able to vote in the primary. Go in, no matter how you're registered. I mean, your focus could be to the Democrats or the Republicans, but if you are an independent, there's no reason whatsoever for you to be shunned from this particular primary election.
So if you think about it, Michael, if you were to do that, you wouldn't have a primary, you'd have a general election.
Well, maybe we need two general elections then to make sure we know, you know, we're weeding out in the primary the people that we feel are best. And there should be the primary type, and let's weed them out and then let the highest two go against each other.
Well, those two parties have to have an organization, and they have to be able to support or reject anybody that wants to run for an office. And if I'm a Republican, I should be able to run for any office and as long as I qualify. In the state of Pennsylvania, or in the country for that matter. The machine runs the country, I think we all know that, and that's just the way it is. I wanted to answer your first question. I didn't mean to get off on a tangent like that. This is great. Made in America. Let's start buying Made in America. But I'm telling you, let's get pragmatic again the way I was last year, and let's back up a little bit further. We must be prepared with our citizens to have them job ready when these opportunities come. And we are unfortunately not job ready in this country.
I agree. I agree.
So we got to back all the way up to the high schools and maybe even 7th and 8th grade, where we teach them how to build a birdhouse. And start there with weeding in and weeding out the people who are good with their hands, who have the ingenuity to create stuff with their hands, can see issues. So my problem is you put me in front of a bandsaw and I'm liable to cut my arm off because I don't know what else I need to cut. I don't have that. Whereas my brother can take a bandsaw and cut out a silhouette of me. It looks exactly like me. But he's got that talent. I mean, to to run machines and to make things happen. And I think we have to weed that out in the 7th and 8th grade, and then in the 8th and 9th and 10th grade, figure out whether they have the inclination to follow their talents, because every once in a while you're going to find somebody, like my son, who is very good cooking. This guy can go into a refrigerator and create a meal in 20 minutes. It's just an extraordinary talent, but he doesn't like to cook. So where are we? I mean, he wants to do what he does, which is, run a store. So,
guys, I want to say this to you, that as we're doing our little review of what's been going on, I think that talking with people in my travels, the Look at Labels campaign has really benefited a lot of companies who are still manufacturing in America. It's also opened the eyes of people to see just what the hell is going on. Where are the American-made stuff? The results of the Look at the Label campaign alone has generated us tens of millions of supporters. It made people take a hard look. What else made them take a look is the fact that their sons and daughters, many of those who have skills, are now losing their jobs to foreign markets, which is something that we have been promoting as well. We broadcast contacting school boards and elected officials to restore the trades and the industrial arts programs. Well, I want to tell you, like never before, more schools are talking about the trades because people are walking in, the taxpayers are walking in and say, hey, why can't we do this? We only have one particular school focusing on the trades in our area. Why can't we have three or four out of the 40 schools that we have? And let's see what the benefit is going to be. It's really up to the taxpayers to ensure that America's high schools get the graduates out of the school with no less than one really sellable job skill. And that's our fault. That's our leadership fault. That's the people not speaking up. It's up to the taxpayers. Nobody else pays the taxes. People on the school board rule and do whatever they want to do without even thinking that, the taxpayers are thinking something else. So these school board meetings don't only have to be talking about foolishness. They have to be talking about futures. What do you say to that, Mark?
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? Rich, Larkin, Henry. Mike, I today I just brought in four internship students from BOCES. BOCES is that's where you go if you're going to high school and you go into a trade. So I've got four new kids. They started Monday. Just talked to them before the show, and they're young. They want to learn more. They weren't exposed to it, but they love coming to our general welding. Larkin, you had seen it. There's a lot here. We're a university in herself, but it's neat. Larkin, you're dead on. This skilled and Mike, the skilled workers, we got about four big opportunities right now. We're waiting to land one. Again, we came off our toughest year ever in business in 32 years last year. So I'm going to need welders, and the welder shortage is huge. Again, we work for Elfrid. We're working with Penn State now, trying to find welders. But this BOCES program is excellent. But again, the students aren't getting exposed to it. Mike, you touched on a lot of things. This education board, I pay close to $70,000 a year with all our facilities in school tax, which is about $40,000 of the 70. So we need to develop now. We are going to have such a skilled worker shortage. I just have a big film crew in here today doing they're doing new product development for ESAB welding. They happen to choose our facility to be a facility they could shoot for 3 days. So 14 people are shooting a new welder down there. But talking to them, the average age of a welder is 70 years old. 65 to 70. So the problem's here and now. And these plants, they're keeping these 65-year-olds. They're not going to stay much longer. When I started the Made in America, the average age of the worker was 55 to 60. And we knew it was going to be a problem, but it's here upon us right now.
Yep.
So we have to address it. And I want to bring back, you know, we just got through January, toughest month of the year. February is a little worse. First quarter for retail and sales, very tough. We just finished, you know, so happy new month, guys. I always get excited with every new month. I don't wait for the whole year, you know. But we got to chip away through it. I'm seeing change. Larkin, you talked with Trump and what's going on. I think a lot of stuff is going on. I'm talking to a lot of positive businessmen. So even our military contracts just got on the move, and they haven't in 3 years. So there's different things going on. We're going to wait and see. I'm disappointed in the press. I think we've all been. But even David Muir, Mike, we talk a lot. They just pick on the negative side. I think they could do so much to unite this country.
Yep. Absolutely.
I really just lately see it. It's terrible.
It's wasted opportunities day after day after day. And even talking with some of the political people, when I call them about other issues, they're all saying, you know, that's so much work. Do you realize how much work you're trying to get involved in getting people back into skilled jobs? And all I say, well, that's what it's all about. What are we supposed to do, become a 100% welfare society?
But Mike, you're talking, there's a bubble out there. These people do not know what I live and breathe every day. They don't have a clue how bad Western New York is in business and the, you know, oil and mining industry, the juice plant business, what we went through. They don't know this side, which is hard. And, you know, I talked to Clyde Strickland over the weekend. He's going to relaunch the American-made movie. A lot of positive stuff going on with it. But we need something as a tool. We have to get these people to understand the importance of skilled trades and how it built America and how, if we're going to grow the economy, it is a – It's a part of that we have to have and have to.
You know, we talked, Mark, a couple of weeks ago about Fisher Price up in your area.
Yeah.
Now they have their headquarters right there in New York, but all of their products are made foreign made.
100% of them, Mattel.
Why can't we get somebody? Why can't it be a Mark Andel Toys division and get that in circulation? And as I said earlier in today's broadcast, all of the merchandisers, if they could put a gag on me, they would definitely do it, because they don't like people going out to the stores, looking at labels, asking questions, because then their customers ask the merchandiser, well, what can you do about it? What can you present me? I don't want these people coming in here. It's angry customers. I have to keep customers happy. Bad enough they're not walking into stores as they did. And that's where the problem is. Our example,
Michael,
talking about looking at labels, speaking up where you shop, circulate more of your dollars in America, your hard-earned dollars, whether you're getting it from Social Security, you're working a full or part-time job, those are hard-earned dollars.
Support the country you live in.
Right.
Every foreigner tells me it.
No, and that's exactly right. And the foreigners can tell you more about America.
They get it more than we get it.
They come here to shop. Some of the foreigners come here to shop, and they look at the labels and they said, "What's American made? What the hell is this?"
Yeah, we're just,
you know, and they say, "Oh, there's so many protesters." My question is, all those protesters coming out, I'm going to ask Larkin and Rich and Mark, how many of those protesters, if I said we're going to have a protest for jobs in front of City Hall or go to Trump Tower or go in front of the White House, how many people would go and protest for jobs? That's the question. What? How many do you think would generate, Larkin?
Yeah, well, you know, the funny thing is that during the Women's March, which I applaud, I absolutely applaud anything on the protester level that generates involvement, I couldn't possibly support more. Am I going to go protest? No. I work my magic in a different way. But if you don't have a cause, if you don't have an organization, if you don't have a way to get your voice heard, then show up to the women's protest. Then show up to the protests against the ban. But for Lord's sake, when the march is over, do something. And that's the problem that plagues this country. Everybody wants to get on camera. Everybody wants to protest. Everybody wants to carry funny signs. And when the parade's over, they go home until the next parade. my sister said that she was going to march in the women's parade out in San Francisco, and I said, that's great. Now, I'm going to tell you personally that you're marching in the wrong parade. And she said, what are you talking about? I'm a woman, and I believe him. I said, you're marching in the wrong parade. Because the problem is that if 100,000 women show up to march in that parade, 100,000 women are going to go back home, continue to darn socks, continue to cook meals and support their families in the way that they do, and not get involved in policy change.
Right.
And until they take these protests steps, leaps, miles in advance of the protest itself, it's all for naught. It all doesn't accomplish anything except whiz off the other side, who, once you disappear, just goes back to doing whatever it was that they were doing, and your voice is completely lost. So march in the right parade. Protest in the right protest. And when it's all over, don't go home. Stand there until somebody tells you when the next meeting is to create a caucus that's going to approach politicians and tell them, we don't like this, we want it another way. That's what makes this country work. And unfortunately, all our country citizens are willing to do now is show up to an event where they might be able to get their ugly puss on television, and where they might get a bunch of chuckles out of a very hysterical and funny sign. And when Trump was in Philadelphia, I watched that whole thing on C-SPAN. I just, you know, I had it on in the background, but I'd turn around every once in a while. And people were protesting, and it was a very eclectic crowd. But I guarantee you, when Trump got in the car and drove away and the Republicans broke up their party, those people went home and haven't done anything since except bitch at the local bar when they stop for a shot and a beer, or complain to their family, or take it out on their family because they're upset. It's just not what works.
Right. I agree. Oh, Larkin, I agree.
Can I make a point on that, please, Larkin?
You want to make a choice? You want to make a change? Get involved.
Yeah, you know, Larkin, you're right. Look, there's no the issue isn't, hey, guys, on American Workers Radio, do you support the right to peaceful protest? Of course we all do. That's a constitutionally protected right to peaceful protest. But the same question for them is the same question for the Democrats who are boycotting the cabinet nominations, the cabinet the confirmation hearings. What is the desired, you know, what is the desired end result of what it is that you're doing? You know, Larkin, you talk about getting involved. Well, you know, I keep joking, and the reason I'm not at a protest every 5 minutes, Mark, is because I got to sell to eat. You know, I got to work to eat. So, you know, maybe if the bills were paid, I never had to worry about it. Maybe I'd be at a protest every 5 minutes. So we have our ways of getting involved. And that's actually, Larkin, exactly what I told some of the Florida GOP people a few weeks ago. I cited that dinner last week. One of the things that I said to the officials there, and I was very sure to emphasize the word impossible, I said it is impossible for someone not to get involved if he or she wants to. Impossible.
Right. You're exactly right.
The convergence of grassroots with technology, with building coalitions, with the fact that ideas are democratically lost and won. Listen, democratically, at least in the presidential elections, granted, the midterms were different because, and in part because the turnout was atrocious. Democratically, the ideas that won out at the presidential level in the two elections before this last one in 08 and 012, what won democratically was transformation. So that's what was winning. And let's be honest about this next point. To my knowledge, this has not been admitted publicly. Someone who's listening can correct me on this. But let's be honest about why in 2013 the filibuster for cabinet appointments rule was changed. And the reason it was changed in 2013 by the Democrats was not because of the midterms. You don't pick a cabinet in the midterms. You pick a cabinet with a new president. Well, by 2013, we were waiting for the 2016 election. So 3 years before an election, the Democrats were already planning Hillary Clinton's presidency. You guys know that? 3 years before the election, 3 years, it was, we're going to make sure that when Hillary Clinton is elected, she's going to put in whomever she wants in her cabinet. On the Republican side, Larkin, the Florida, the GOP was getting Jeb Bush ready, and they were, remember, they were building him up, and he was speaking at some events, and all of a sudden the fundraising was coming in, and it was we were setting the stage, you know, for the showdown, you know, the next Clinton Bush showdown. It was, oh, Jeb and Hillary, let's get it ready. And then all of a sudden, the person with no political experience decided to get involved. And I want to say something to Curtis if he's listening. As much a reason as any that Donald Trump got elected was a very simple policy platform: America first.
And you're right, Richard. But now, here
and Michael, hold on. Excuse me. The media knows. That America first does not mean America only. But America first is why we listen to trinkle up his leg Chris Matthews, another hysterical guy, use the word Hitlerian. Hitlerian as a descriptor for Trump's inaugural speech. When in reality, when I watched Larkin, people bring their kids to protest to burn Trump's books. That's not Hitlerian. That's Hitler. That's what the Nazis actually did. So my offering humbly here for Curtis, if he's listening, is to just reiterate the point that right now this is, I give the president the benefit of the doubt on this, that he understands this, that right now the opposition is as hysterical and totalitarianistic as we have ever seen in America. So Donald Trump doesn't have to just worry about some of the opposition in the Republican Party, because the fact is this, Michael, in my opinion, going forward, we're in this new era of politics. The Democrat-Republican paradigm is moving, I hope, in the direction of becoming archaic.
And I hope that we are now in a new...
It's moving in that direction. Look at this election. We had one of the things that actually has been, to mine, I haven't seen it anywhere posted, is the fact that Gary Johnson, as a third-party candidate, he got 4.5 million votes in this election. And Gary Johnson had zero negative impact against Donald Trump getting elected. Zero. Ralph Nader got 2.5 million something votes, I think it was. And Ross Perot, years and years ago, he got, I'd have to check, he got like 19% of the votes cast. So this time around, the voters said, forget the Republican, now of course not for the base of the Democratic Party. The base of the Democratic Party votes Democrat no matter what. The moderate, sensible Democrats had really nowhere to go in their own party. And people on the other side of the Republican side, Larkin, who have stayed home, and they need to understand that when you stay home, you are helping the other side, their ideas democratically win. This time around, that paradigm got broken down. And there was only one guy. And Larkin, primaries... Go back and listen to me on this radio show during the primaries when I said the only damn guy out of the 17 who could win during the primary, they had Mitt Romney and these other guys going around calling him a fraud and a whatever they said about this guy. They were doing it during the primary. So their plan to defeat Clinton was to undermine the only guy who could win? The Republican Party won this election despite their efforts. Despite, not because of their efforts, despite their efforts.
Right.
So they better figure that out really, really quick. Because if they don't, get ready. Just get ready. That Republican-Democrat paradigm, guys, I'm telling you, it is moving toward obsolescence. It's moving in that direction. Democrats.
You know, guys.
Trump, get ready.
Michael, I've got a very important announcement to make. I kept on thinking that I was going to get an opportunity, and we all went a different way. But this is a supplement to what Mark was saying and what we've talked about in Bricks and Mortar. And what I've said to you is we've got to be pragmatic. We've got to come up with results. We've got to come up with answers that are going to create results. I am going to announce to our audience, this is not public information, but it will be effective immediately. SCORE Association in Herndon, Virginia, has created an outrageous opportunity with the Home Shopping Network. We are capable at this point of vetting you, your product, your ability to take the product to the street, and we can get you on the Home Shopping Network with your product. So the answer to a lack of brick and mortar, the answer to a lack of all this online sales is Home Shopping Network. And it's such an inordinately brilliant call. I wish I could say it was my idea. It wasn't involved in its development, but it's such an enormous opportunity. Anybody in the listening audience right now that has a product that they sell, that they make, that's made in America, please get a hold of Michael Bleihaus, who will then forward it to me, and we will vet your product. We will vet you, we will counsel you, and we will prepare you to do a 30-minute, it's actually between 10 and 20 minutes, presentation for your product on the Home Shopping Network.
Excellent. Larkin, that is, wow, that's a beautiful announcement. Woo!
Larkin, when does that start?
Let that marinate in your head there, Andel.
Yeah, when does that start?
We have a pre-product launch that I'm sure not a lot of people can get prepared for in Arlington, Virginia on the 27th of February. That's a month from now.
Excellent.
That's not the end of it. You know, the relationship that we have built here by selling the concept that we represent small businesses all over the country to create products. But you obviously there's a standard here. You can't have this dream in your mind and bring in a prototype and say, here, I want to sell this. Because if you've seen the girl from Pennsylvania that went on Home Shopping Network, Joy, with her mop, she got caught because she went up and they showed the mop and they did a demonstration and she got an order for 18,000 mops. And she didn't have 18,000 mops. So we're going to check your channel to make sure that you can rise to the occasion and that you're prepared for that on-air time. I don't know exactly how we're going to call it. I really want it to be small business boosts with SCORE and the Home Shopping Network. But if you make something, come to SCORE quickly. And the channel doesn't close on the 27th. It starts on the 27th. And if you've got anybody, Mark, to create something that does have an ability to manufacture, to meet the demand that might be created by appearing on a thing like this Home Shopping Network, please tell them to get a hold of Michael, which is the easiest way to get a hold of American Workers Radio. And Michael will snatch it to me. That'll give Michael a chance to follow whoever it is. We'll get that person in front of a mentor. We'll line everything up and get them prepared to walk into Home Shopping Network and bam, slap that product on the table and say, let's go.
Wow. This is beautiful. Larkin, this is wonderful. And this is the way it starts. I am going to make some final closing remarks, and I'm going to ask all of you to do the same. I want to thank all of our sponsors. We have a number of sponsors. As most people know, we are on the air 7 days a week. And I want to thank them. They will all be acknowledged tomorrow and on Friday, as well as on Saturday and Sunday of this week. I want to thank them because they help us bring this hour of power to all of you. Larkin, that's great news. Another thing that's happening that we began on this broadcast is National Small Business Weekend, which is the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of every month. This effort really helped bring attention to the fact that small businesses in America need your business to stay in business. Whether you're going out to buy a pizza or you're going out to buy some baked goods or whatever, kindly consider your local businesses. They really need you. When you go there, you can also tell them that they can learn more about it by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com or NationalSmallBusinessWeekend.com. I do want to mention that Mark Andel is an unbelievable participant in our panel, and he does have an up-and-going internet site that features a lot of items. Do check him out at MadeInAmericaStore.com. I also want to acknowledge the assistance from State Senator of Pennsylvania, John Sabatina, our Lieutenant Governor, Mike Stack, a great supporter of jobs, and also State Representative John Taylor and State Representative of Pennsylvania, Gene DiGirolamo. These people have been promoting the jobs program, promoting all of our campaigns, and I can't thank them enough. When you're out shopping, make sure you support our sponsors. You tune in. We have every imaginable type sponsor, whether it's a lawyer or a baker or a kielbasa maker. Go out and support them. And when you do, make sure you let them know that you hear about them during the broadcasts on 860 AM. Well, we're getting close to that time. How about some closing remarks, starting off with Mark?
Yeah, I just want to tell everyone, continue to do what you do. Thank you for listening. I think we got an outstanding show. Mike, I listen to other talk shows. We got four great panel members and Henry to keep us running smooth. Just go out, buy Made in America while you're watching everything go on. But you can make an action plan is to buy a product made in our country and educate yourself and keep talking it up because it's working.
That Buy an American-Made label idea really helped so much. So many people tell me about that effort. Yes, Dr. Rich Logis, who celebrated a very big occasion this week.
Yeah, and Michael, thank you for the card from everyone at the center for the birthday wishes. Really greatly, very humbled, very touched and appreciative. Thank you.
Oh, enjoyed, and I'm glad you enjoyed this special visit by Henry, who played the guitar and you went wild over there. Really enjoyed hearing about
that. Sold out.
Nyegzhiezhienam, we wish you the very best. And Dr. Larkin.
Yeah, I'd again tell everybody protest often and protest loudly. Get involved. Please,
and I'd like to see some protesters. I'd like to see some protesters protesting for jobs. That's where I want to see the protesters, the organizers, put more of their effort. Well, ladies and gentlemen, until this Saturday at 11 for our variety program, or next Wednesday, I wish you and yours the very best. Please do direct everybody that you know to visit our site, AmericanWorkersRadio.com, where you will find all of our other links on that site. Also, support our 2017 theme, support the American Made label. David Zenya, talk to you soon.
Have a great week, guys.